The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that is to come to me." And so the father divided up his property, and after a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off for a distant land. And there he squandered his inheritance in a life of dissipated living. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local farmers, who sent him to his farm to tend for his swine. He longed to eat the pods which were food for the swine, but nobody gave him anything to eat. Coming to his senses at last, he thought, "How many in my father's house, hired workers, have more than enough to eat, and here I am, dying of hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he got up and he went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran out to his son. He embraced him and he kissed him. But his son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring out the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and slaughter it. And then let us celebrate with a feast. This son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and he is found.' And then the celebration began. The older son, meantime, out in the field, on his way back as he neared the house, heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has come back, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and he refused to enter the house. But his father came out and pleaded with him. And he said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I have served you. Not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me such as a young goat to feast with my friends. But when this son of yours returns, the one who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fatted calf.' And his father said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always, and everything I have is yours. But we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and he is found.'" The Gospel of the Lord. This story of the prodigal son, or the good father, is found in the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and it's not mentioned anywhere else. Exclusive to Luke. And as we have studied Luke's Gospel over the years, it's very typical of the gracious God revealed in the Gospel of Luke. I have preached on this for years and years. I've written more journals on this. I have read more and studied more of this section of Luke's Gospel than any other place in all four Gospels, because it means more to me than any place else in the Gospels. It's a revelation of God that somehow consoles me in my life. But it's more than that. And by the way, I know many of you have read Henry Nouwen's book, The Return of the Prodigal Son. And if you have not read it, you must read it. And by the way, I did call Anne in the bookstore and tell her I was going to say that. So she has some copies over there if you want to buy it. It's based on a Rembrandt painting, which is in St. Petersburg in Russia. And I've read the book multiple times, and I was so moved and impressed by it that I went all the way to St. Petersburg in Russia and went to the Hermitage, and I didn't look at anything else in the Hermitage. And I went to that painting, and I spent a couple of days reflecting on that painting of The Return of the Prodigal Son by Rembrandt. I decided that I'd look at it somewhat differently today by way of a reflection. I mean, I've spoken about the Son and the elder Son and the Father. I'd like to look at it differently now. The only way in which the Scripture comes to life is when you find yourself in the Word. Until you experience yourself in the Word of God, the Word is just something you read and you put aside. But when the Word comes to life inside of you, when you feel and sense the living Word of God in your life, then the Word of God comes to life, and the Word of God is redeeming and transforming only when it comes to life in your own experience each day. So let me tell you what this means to me. Over the years, looking at this gospel, how it came to life for me, and perhaps it might resonate somehow in your own faith journey. There is a concept fundamental in the spiritual life entitled kenosis. It's a Greek word. Kenosis means emptiness. It means the beginning of all spiritual journey has to be the emptying of something inside of myself. Kenosis. So I had three prayers. I prayed at three different stations through this gospel reading. The first prayer that I had in reflecting on this gospel here was to go back over my life and remember my sins, to remember the ingratitude of my life, to remember my failures, the sins that led me into darkness, to remember when I failed the standards of my life, when I disappointed not only others, I disappointed myself. When I walked away and left a victim, led by my selfishness. And in the exercises of Ignatius, which I follow, the beginning of your spiritual journey in Ignatius is what he calls pray for the gift of tears. Look at your life. Look deep inside yourself. Own your sins. Own your humanity. Embrace the true self, not the false self, not the image, not the reputation, but the true person hidden behind the mask. See that person. That's the gift of tears. That's kenosis. That's the beginning of all spiritual journeys. And when I found myself in that darkness, I was the prodigal son. I was the one that was praying that I could come back to a home where God would embrace me, God would heal me, God would encourage me, God would give me the grace to believe again in myself, in the goodness which is inside of me. And that was my first prayer. The prayer of the prodigal son. Empty, impoverished, in the shadows of weakness, in the place of neglect, saying, but God will welcome me back. The first prayer, kenosis, for me, was the prayer of the prodigal son. In the second prayer, I looked for the elder son in my life. I looked for the anger. The elder son was a self-appointed perennial victim, believing that he never got what he deserved. Jealous, envious. I should have been much more recognized. I should have gotten more. I should have been more honored in my life. I should have been more thanked in my life. I am made small by a small heart, the heart of the elder son. I remember a time in my life when my decisions were clear. They were accurate, legally accurate. They were hard, they were cold, and they were enforced. And that's the elder son. He kept the law. He demanded of others. He insisted that he get what was coming to him. Overcome by this sense of being a walking victim. So easy. It's so easy for this to happen to us. Why is it so easy? Because we are right when that happens. We deserve it. I can give you reasoning and logic to support the fact that I was treated unfairly, and therefore I am angry, resentful. I'll keep the law, but I resent it. It doesn't come from a generous heart. It comes from a place of coldness, the cold response to a law. Church is full of people like this. They're keeping the laws. But they're angry, they're bitter, they're disappointed, they're envious, they gossip, they judge. Oh, make hard judgments about other people from a place of righteousness. The elder son. I saw the elder son in myself. My third prayer reflected on the father. This was a dysfunctional family. The first son ran away. The second son stayed, but he wasn't there. He didn't belong. You know, he stays for... Why does he stay? For the children. I stay to hold the family together. He stayed, but he wasn't there. His heart wasn't there. His spirit wasn't there. He was there, but he wasn't there. A dysfunctional, broken family. We've all seen that. It led me to believe that maybe the father was a hard man. He was a hard taskmaster. The first son ran away. The second son was resentful because the father never was kind, gracious, generous, forgiving, understanding, never connected with that elder son. What was it about the father? Was he harsh? Was he judgmental? Was he demanding? Did he set so standards that ignore the humanity of his two sons who left him? Could it be that in his grief and in his loss and in his own darkness, he went through a transformation? And in his transformation, he became in the likeness of God. Transformed from being a hard and demanding father to being a loving, understanding, and embracing father. He was converted out of his grief, from his darkness. He was reborn into the kindness and the graciousness, the understanding. In Rembrandt's painting, he has the father as an old man who is blind. So the wonder, if he was blind, how could he see his son when he is far off and run out to meet him? And Rembrandt said, he saw him with his heart. He saw him with his heart. So you can see things with your heart. You can't see with your eyes. So he was converted into the Father, imaging the living God. That was my consolation, that I could go to my Father and find the compassionate, the understanding, the healing, the embrace, the affirmation to say, you are my son. I am your loving Father. Do you hear that? The wonder of one who is converted. The son was converted from his darkness into new life. The elder son finally acknowledged his resentment. I mean, so many of us, we hide it. We don't have the courage to say. So we hide it and we carry the resentment inside of us. But finally, he spoke to his father. He said, but you never treated me kindly. You were never generous to me. You never embraced me. You were never kind to me. And the father, converted now, says, my son, everything I have is yours. Wow. Believe in this God, and your life will find new purpose and new meaning.